Praise the Lord. I know we've got some that are out sick this morning. When anyone's out, well, of course they're missed. And amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sometimes wonder, dear God, if we take this privilege that we have, if it becomes that we take it for granted, like flipping a light switch, the light's just going to come on. Lord, I don't ever want to just take it for granted, Lord. I realize it is a grand privilege that we have. It's a freedom, a liberty that we have, dear God, to come and assemble and to meet, to draw strength from one another, to draw strength from you, to be able to hear. Lord, oh my, what it must have been like for those, Lord, that had to meet in secret. There's some today, Lord, in certain countries have to meet that way. Lord, we don't know, Lord, whether it will come that way, perhaps even in this country before your coming, Lord. But Lord Jesus, while we still yet have that liberty, Lord, I believe we should very much take advantage of it, Lord. We thank you for it. Ask for your guidance, Lord, in this service this morning. May you speak, Lord, to the people, Lord, encouragement, Lord, and uplifting and strength, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Isaiah 54 and 17. We started speaking on this last Sunday, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in the judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. No weapon shall prosper. No weapon shall prosper. We went over the first sentence in this verse last Sunday, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, showing the word form meant not only to be created, but that there would be no weapon that was ordained to prosper against us. If you can get the significance of that, I know that the weapons that the enemy uses against us, we brought in last Sunday about Brother Branham saying the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. That's the battlefield the devil chose. But in that, the human spirit, the gates of our affection, the gates of our conscience and our reasoning and our memory, and the devil works within that realm to try to, it's in that realm, friends, is where he can touch us. If your soul, the Bible teaches, if the soul has been sealed by the Holy Ghost, then it is sealed until the day of redemption. It's sealed all the way through. The devil can't touch that. The devil can't take the Holy Ghost away from you. The devil can't take away from you the work of God that's been done in your soul. The devil can't take any of that. But the devil can affect your faith on a day-to-day walk if you will let him in your emotions or on your memory or on your reasoning. And those are areas the devil very much loves to come and do. And he does it in a sly way. The devil don't just stand out there and say, I'm going to attack your emotions now. No, he sends somebody who can push the buttons of your emotions. You see, he sends, and it isn't to mean that that individual is an agent of hell. But if that, you know, you realize this, friends, if the individual themselves, if they're not converted, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's what I'm talking about. If they don't possess that, then they can quickly easily be used by the enemy against those that are filled. And friends, look, the devil, I brought this out last Sunday. He started his first attack on mankind. He started it in the family. And the devil knows that bringing attacks within a family works well. He has done it time and time again, and he has been successful in at least causing disturbance. You look at, we know the term sibling rivalry, and usually that involves siblings trying to compete, perhaps for the attention or affections of their parents. And that happens more when you've got, there's so many things that could make that happen. Parents can make that happen. Jealousy or of someone being so self-centered that they can't share. I've got relatives like that myself. I got one relative that she can't have more than one friend at a time. You know, and they're so self-centered that it's got to always be about them. You know. And so we know that brings about sibling rivalry. Well, we can see it in the Bible, Esau and Jacob. Now, what was their rivalry over? Well, I can tell you this. Esau, being the firstborn, there was much laid heavily upon the firstborn at that time. And his father, long before he ever became blind naturally, had become blind by his affections toward his eldest son, his firstborn son. He became blind in his affections, meaning that the faults were there, the signs were there, but Isaac ignored them. I was reading an article, Reader's Digest, this morning when I got up. I was reading an article, and it was about this. You know, there's so much identity theft and so many different types of scams and everything they say that's out there on the internet and everywhere else. You know, even through the mail, not only just on the internet, even through the mail and everything else. And many people have failed. There's been people who have failed for some of these scams. And so they've actually, it's got to be to such a degree in this nation that now this nation actually has a panel of experts that study this out, and they can, if one is reported to them or something suspicious or whatever, anywhere coming through the internet or whatever, they go and investigate it or whatever, and they're trained to tell whether stuff is a fraud or whether it's true, whether it's, and they're trained to discover the lies. And so they're interviewing this one individual that was one of the head ones in here that taught others and things. They were interviewing her about it, and the come back to where why I went to that. Guess my age or something's getting me. Well, I'll come back to it. It'll come back to me in a moment here. Just forgive me. That these people of the fraud, they target individuals. What they're looking for is perhaps individuals that that fall in categories that make them more susceptible to fall to these certain frauds. In other words, if it's for instance, it's a fraud that actually involves, and I actually knew somebody who went, man, they really fell for it really bad. It was an individual that husband had died, and they were still yet quite young, youngish, and their husband had died, and so they were alone, and they'd only been married once, and actually got married when they were you know, past their youth, and the marriage it lasted only a short period, and the husband died of cancer, and so it made her very susceptible then to someone to show her attention, and that's what had happened. Someone shows attention, somebody shows, well, I'm interested in you, and the next thing you know, it turns out it's not that at all. It's to drain everything that she has monetarily and everything, and it worked. And she lost everything she had and was left with nothing. And that's what this article was saying. It targets these things. There's different things set up to target. In other words, if people are having financial trouble, then there are fraud out there that is set to target people who are in need of some quick finance, you know. And so there's different things. Well, that's the way the enemy works. The enemy knows. Brother Branham said he studies us. But friends, he has studied mankind from the beginning, and he knows how to target us. He knows how to target you, perhaps different than someone else, you know, because all of us, you know, but there is one thing that we all know and the devil knows. There's one area that with every one of us would be a struggle, and that's the affection for our family. And so you find that one so common. Affection, period. Anything that our affections could get set on. If the devil can find a way, in any way, if he can find a way to slip something in there, he's going to do it. Why? Because we are human. We are human. There are certain things, qualities about us as being human that is the same. No matter who we are. I mean, there's some things about us that's different, depending on perhaps things of what we grew up around, or our family, or certain traits like that, or different things like that. But there are some things that's the same no matter what. We all love our family. There isn't any, you could not find any parent to say, well, I really don't care whether my kids are saved or lost. The devil knows that. And that holds the same throughout all. When you find somebody that actually succumbs to some kind of something, because friends, the devil don't care how he uses that. He can pervert that whole thing too. He has done it in the message, where we've had parents that said, well, okay, my kids weren't in by 63. If you weren't in and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost by 63, well, you're not going to make the bride. And you know what? I asked Brother Benton one time. I was talking to him, asking him about a certain individual we had known for years, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. And he said, well, you know, the brother believed that. And I said, did he? And he said, yeah. And he said, and his children, he said, especially the youngest boy, is a product of what he believes. He said, he has just went so wild out in the world. Well, you know, he was calling him a young man, of course, you know, to Brother Benton, a young man. I mean, he's this young man. He's he's younger than me, but he's less than 10 years younger than me, so that ain't quite so young. Yeah, but he said he's a product of what his dad, of what his father believed. So see, Satan took it that way. But Satan, he works on those things. He'll work on those things, anything that can involve your affection. And like I said, he knows there are certain things that we all have in common and that we're alike in our affections. And so he studied it for years, and it runs pretty true. But to realize that none of this, no matter how much of a struggle it is, none of it, no tactic he used, is ordained to overcome us. There is no tactic that he uses. It might get you down. Some of you know, you're sitting here this morning, you go, yeah, I know he's attacked me there, and he just about had me here, or he just about had me there. But you know something? He didn't. Why? Because it wasn't ordained to be so. Brother Branham, this is in a message, Easter Seal, excuse me, 1965. He was talking about God creating and how he created the different things, the angels, the stars, all the different things. And he said, but then his great plan began to unfold. And he goes on to say how that if you're in his thinking, you had to always be in his thinking. Because his thinking is eternal, then you had to be his eternal thoughts. And then he goes on from there and he says, listen, there was something in you, something that you never put in there, something you couldn't desire it to be in there, something that's contrary to your own human nature. He said, what is it? It's the foreknowledge of God taking place in your life. God's word. What is that something? He said, what is it? He said, it's the foreknowledge of God taking place in your life. There's something that was in there. That was ordained. Because that is ordained, then nothing that's formed or created or that the devil devises to try to attack you, it's not ordained to overcome you because you are ordained to be victorious. To prosper, to bring to successful issue. It's not going to be successful. You know, we've heard the phrase often about, you know, we may lose a battle now and then, but the war's already been won. And brother, that is true. And when the devil tries to come and bring condemnation over the battles that we've lost, don't worry about it. Don't look. Just get up and go at it again. Any battle that's lost you're going to keep fighting until you win it. In other words, look, a lot of times we think, you know, if you think about it, you think, well, if you retreat, then that means you've lost. Sometimes you got to retreat because you ventured out on your own, off of God's word, trying to do it ourselves. And when you venture without authority, Brother Adam said, that's what assuming is, to venture without authority. And many times because of what our human thought is concerning a situation or how that situation should be handled or how we want it to be because of our human reasoning, because of our human affections, and we venture in that direction and we get defeated. Then what the thing to do? Retreat back to where you left him. It's like that remember that Brother Ram gives that story about that ship that was going down and the captain wanted to know the Lord, and he talked to the young man. He said, I need to get right. And he says, well, how do I pray? What do I say? He said, just start wherever you left him at. And the captain said, now I lay me down to sleep. He said, that's where he left him. You got to go back. So a retreat is not always a loss, but it's going back to where we strayed from. And then from there, you dig in your position and get ready for this battle to continue. So it's not a loss. Hallelujah. No sense in being discouraged. Hallelujah. You know, the The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, the second part of that verse, we're all familiar with it, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lift up a standard against him. And the word standard there actually, it means escape. And we can go to, Brother Ram says, he always provides a way of escape. All right, but look, sometimes the way of escape isn't by running backwards. It's by fighting and going forwards. The way of escape is not always, I'm just going to pretend it didn't happen, ignore it. But it's actually the way of escape could be, I'm going to deal with this thing once and for all. Because that word also means banner. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now, I don't need to explain flood. You know what that is. That means a great issue of whatever it is. You know, all the big issues. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a banner against him. Now, remember when Moses and the children of Israel came and they were beset by Amalek. And so he chose different men to lead and to go out to battle. And we find they were victorious over Amalek. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 17:50, says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord our banner. He instructed Moses that when camp was made, where each tribe of Israel was to be set up, and at the head of each tribe was to be set their banner for that tribe. And we've seen that in our studies, and Bible studies over that, you know. But there, that banner was set there. That banner was given to them by God. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 20. Psalms 20, and I want to read verse 5, 6, and 7 here. Got my pages stuck together. Says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our Lord shall we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, you know what your petition is? A request, something that's been requested, something that's been asked. And it says, may the Lord fill all thy petitions. Now, verse 6, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now, he will hear him and save him with the strength of his right hand. Now, you know, right, being the right hand means the hand of authority. Now, just hold your place there because I'm going to go to the next verse, but I want to just, if you want to write this one down, if you would. But in Isaiah 59:1, it says, and this is, I'm connecting with the verse 6 there, Psalms 20:6. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. It's not that the Lord is not able. You know, somebody came to me one time and said, I think that... Said, I think that you've given up on certain person. I said, no, I haven't given up on them. I said, they have given up on God. He said, well, it just seems like from different things you say tonight, and so it seems like you've given up on him. And I said, look, the Lord is able. Because that's what this brother was asking the question. He said, you know God's able to do this. I said, I know that. And I believe it. But God's not going to do it over top of that individual's want. The Lord is able. But you've got to accept that, just like Brother Branham giving that example about the young man who had ran in battle back in the Civil War days, and Abraham Lincoln sent a pardon down to him, and he said, I don't believe that. And so that man was executed because of his treason. And they went back and said, well, you know, wait, he had a pardon. Would that have been right? He said, well, a pardon's only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon. Well, it's the same way with this. Yes, God is able, but will you accept it? Amen. Yes, his hand is not shortened that he can't save. It's like somebody come to me one time and they said, I keep trying and trying, but it seemed like God just won't help me. I try to overcome this and I try to overcome that, but God just won't help me. And excuse me for my crude ways, I'm just a hillbilly. But I said, what are you looking for? God come down there, pick you up by the nape of the neck, slap you across the face, say, do it one more time, I'm going to stomp you. What do they want? Well, I tried to give up smoking. What do you want? You want God to come down, smack that cigarette out of your mouth, crumple up that pack of cigarettes and throw it away and say, you better not go down to the gas station again. No, you've got to do it. Brother Adam said, look, God's not going to pull you through a pipe and come out the other end and say to he that overcometh. He said, you've got something to do. At the same token, then we say, well, you say, don't try to do it on your own. No, don't try to do it on your own. I say, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Look, friends, there's others here who could testify to you, maybe, and I'll just use this one, but there's others here that could testify to you being delivered from smoking. But I'll tell you something. When I got delivered, I crumpled up the pack of cigarettes that I had. Yeah, I had got two more cigarettes. Had them in my pocket. And then I took them last two, I broke them up and threw them in the trash. And I said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I don't want this no more. And look, friends, I didn't go down to the local gas station or the convenience store or wherever and say, well, Lord, now I'm depending on you to help me quit this habit. Give me a pack of those right there. No. But I can tell you something, friends. I can remember being out in places and I could smell somebody light up. And that little smell, that particular odor that comes from somebody freshly lighting up. And if you ever notice, if you get a bunch of smokers together and one of them lights up, watch all the rest of them pull out a cigarette. And that would be on me when I'd smell, be on me so bad, and I'd want to go get some. One time I even was in a football game and I heard somebody lit up, and man, they was way on up in the stands. And I smelled it. I got up and went, and I walked down by the concession stand. I said, nope, I ain't going to do it. No, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to buy it. But you know what? It wasn't me. I began to pray. Lord, I don't want to do that, Lord. I need some help. Lord, I'm going to go on back out there and sit down, but I need some help. I didn't go over and say, give me a pack of Marlboros, Lord. I sure need some help. But I'm doing better, Lord, because I'd rather smoke Camels and all they got's Marlboros. No. You understand what I'm saying? Or give me a pack of lights. Whatever. That's what I mean. And I'll tell you something, friends. I gave this testimony before. One time I got out of my car. When I got out, I smelled something in the air. I was in a parking lot, and I thought, what in the world does that stink? Man, that about made me sick. And I looked, and over yonder, somebody got out of the car and lit up a cigarette. I tell you what, I was ready to have me forget about whatever else I had to do. I was having me a hallelujah breakdown right there. I began to shout. begin to praise God. Somebody looks at what in the world's wrong with you. I say, I know I'm delivered. When something that used to pull on my desire like that, and now it stinks. Praise God. Now it's offensive. But friends, like I said, I've told people this, God's not going to come down and yank anything out of your mouth. If God did that, they said, well, we know that. God's not going to. What if I came down there, yanked that thing out of your mouth, slapped you upside the head? Well, they'd get offended, wouldn't you? And yet that's the same thing sometimes people are expecting. Sometimes I know some of you out here and say, boy, I sure feel like he slapped me behind the head. Oh, my. So his arm, his hand is not shortened that he cannot save, but you got to want it. Next part of that, Isaiah 59:1 says, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now that word heavy there, one of the means is dull. But the real meaning of that word here in this verse is insensitive. His ear is not insensitive. To you that he can't hear. Think when he went and talked to Moses. Many times we think because God don't do something right now when we ask for it. But he went and talked to Moses and he tells him, he says, the cries of the children of Israel have come up to my ears because of their taskmasters. So sometimes God will let the situation get on to work, because there's sometimes we just want to hurry. Oh, God, get me out of this. But we're not desperate. And we really, you know what? If it just turns out not to be such a big thing, we'll say, wow, that wasn't so big. Well, Lord, I'm sorry I even asked you. I guess I didn't need you on that one. And we don't really say that, but that's the way we act. So sometimes God's got to let it get down to where when we've got to get desperate and cry out. And why are we getting it? Because it gets down to the place where we know when the answer comes that it wasn't us, it wasn't some coincidence, it wasn't just some stroke of good luck, but it was God. Gets it out of our hands. So his ear is not insensible to where it can't hear. All right, now back to Psalms 20. That was verse 6 that we kind of emphasized on. Now look at verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Now, today, that's not what you got to realize what they're using here. This is in battle. And he's talking about him being our banner, it says in verse 5. So in battle, they rely on how many chariots and horses do they have? You've got to have foot soldiers. But you're not going to win a battle with just foot soldiers. You got to have a cavalry, right? And, of course, that has progressed. From the days of when they were writing here talking about chariots, it's progressed to where it became tanks. And then it progressed from there, and we actually have the air cav now. Not just the Hueys, like the helicopters they had when we went to Vietnam, where they've just had a 60 cal mounted on the side of it, and they were just coming down low enough for troops to jump out and go in that. No. Now they actually got helicopters, not just jets, but helicopters manned with rockets and 50 cals and all this stuff, where they can go in and one man operating that machine can go in and cause a lot of destruction. Many times we get to relying on things that are tangible. That's what I've been talking about. I've been talking about things that are tangible as far as for defense. And many times we get to rely on that. There are times we you see individuals, they become so secure, perhaps in their job, that God's got to take it just to get their attention. To know, hey, look, yeah, you thought you could do well and provide for yourself, and you was all well and fine without me. Okay, now it's gone. Now what you going to do? Huh? Yeah, sometimes we get it on things that are tangible. And so God has to let it get to a place to where there is nothing tangible. There is nothing we can see with our physical eyes. But by faith, we look to the things we cannot see. Now listen to what the rest of this says. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now we know the scripture tells us, whatsoever you would ask in my name with faith, I will grant it. Do we believe it? Of course, we know that the Bible tells us anything we ask according to his will. All right? Friends, look, we can ask for healing for individuals according to God's will. But we got to be careful. Brother Branham says, I like, he said, to kind of get enough time with them where I can see if this ain't something that God's allowed to come to kind of correct them a little bit and run them back to him. He says, I don't want to get between them and God. But at the same time, look, friends, remember the name of the Lord, whatsoever you ask in my name. And he says, if you've got a need, ask. Seek. Knock. Actually, the scripture says, to he that knocketh shall the door be opened. Now, knocketh isn't. Knocking just keeps. Knocketh means. That's a verb. It's. You keep knocking. And then what Jesus said, he said, even the woman who went to the unjust judge, her continual asking, pleading, after a while he said, he got the word and said, I might as well grant it to her. She ain't never going to leave me alone. Now it isn't that God is so indifferent to us that we've got to be able to, so he can finally say, I got to get them out of my hair. But God wants to see, friend, do you know who you're asking it for? From? Do you really want it? What are you willing to do? Look, friend, God, we have seen healing and things that we could testify that happened, and yet go out and see the people afterwards, after they've received their healing, then they don't need God no more. They don't need church no more. They don't need the preacher no more. They're okay on their own now. I've seen individuals come here and be healed of something. I've seen individuals come here and be healed of cancer. And if they got healed, well, they didn't need us no more. You say, well, why would God do that? Well, he does it on faith, okay? But you have to realize this, that you say, what's the difference between us and them? Well, I told you that at the beginning. You're in his thinking. You're ordained. You are eternal. You are his child. And friends, look, a parent ain't going to just say, well, you know what? Man, I've whipped Johnny so many times to get him out of that road. I'm tired of it. Just let him go on down there and get run over if he wants to. Huh? I'll tell you what I say. I say, pray for him until they come around and tell you, stop praying for me. You're causing me problems. Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. Would you stop that? Somebody is causing me problems. I want them to be caused problems. Hallelujah. Somebody come to me and they said, pray that the Lord will speak to my child. And a little tired, and I said, all right. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, wake him up at night. Cause him not to be able to get no sleep. Keep him awake. Keep him disturbed. Make him nervous, Lord. Make it, Lord, just get them miserable to where a point they just got to come here. And so they came. And you know what I said? Brother Jerry, I need you to pray for me. I can't sleep at night. The Lord has had me up at night. Or didn't say the Lord, but said, I get up at night. I can't go to sleep. I ain't stirred, and I'm so miserable and everything else. And I said, praise the Lord. Because prayer was answered. I said, I'll tell you why. I said, because I was asked to pray for you. And I said, and I did. And this is exactly what I prayed. And now here you stand testifying God did it. Now, will you accept the fact that God is interested in you? God won't let his children go. He said, I'm not going to lose one. But see, the devil comes and tries to work on our fear. Oh, I tell you what, human beings are full of fear, superstitions, and everything else. Yeah. Oh, we'll say, well, I'm not superstitious. I imagine if I stayed around you long enough, I'd find something somewhere that you done that was superstitious. How many of you heard the saying, if you find a penny, pick it up? You know, the rest of the day you have good luck. I read something the other day that said, find a penny, pick it up, and for the rest of the day you're just going to have a dirty, nasty penny that you found on the ground. In your pocket. You don't know where it's been. But you say, well, I don't ever do that. No, what about if it was a dollar on the ground? Maybe you won't stoop for a penny. But see, you say, well, that ain't got nothing to do with superstition. I'm telling you, every one of us, we have something. Anybody ever have a favorite outfit or a favorite shirt or whatever? And many times when you're going to go face something that's kind of strange, stressing, you go, oh, I'm going to get my favorite one out. Why? Because it empowers me. I feel good when I'm in this. Come on, y'all think on it later. You'll come up with something that you've got. Well, I always got to do it in this order. Why? I just have to. If I don't, it's got to be done this way. Oh, my, we got to move. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Remember. And the word remember, I wanted to dig into that word and look into it. And the word says, of course, we know to call, to recall, or call to mind, to be brought to remembrance. But this is what the part I really, like I said, to cause to be remembered by mentioning. To cause you to remember by mentioning it to you. In other words, bringing it to your remembrance by telling you what you already know, what you already believe. Many times for faith, that's what we need. We just need to be reminded of what we already believe and what we already know to be true. Why? It's like I called up somebody one time, they wouldn't come to church, and I'm not like, I guess a lot of people think, maybe some people think a pastor should be, you know, just every Sunday calling up whoever wasn't in church that Sunday and be on them about, and why wasn't you here and what can I do for you and this and that and the other. And I don't do that. Say, do you not care? Yeah, I care. And I pray for them. And I give them some space. And then after a while, when I feel led by God, then I'll do it. But friends, look. If I got to call somebody every week just to get them to come to church, all I'm going to end up with is, Brother Bram says, is hothouse plants. Right. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of being that. I'm just saying that's why sometimes people got to go through some things, and I realize that. And here's the thing. I know there's times I got to remind them, I'm here. But you know what? I don't want to get in God's way either. So I wait on the Lord. And there's one individual, he hadn't been in church in quite a while. All of a sudden, it just laid on my heart. And so I went, and it was Brother Joel. He'll remember it when I bring this out, but I went to Tim, and I said, Tim, I don't got Joel's. He got a different number or something. I said, can you give me his number? I feel led to call him this morning. So Tim gave me his number, and I walked on into the back room, and I called him. And I said, listen, what you doing? He said, well, I'm getting up. And I said, look, you've been laying around there listening to the devil all this time. It's about time you hear somebody's voice besides the devil. Now get on up and get to church. And he did. Now, I wasn't being smart, but I felt led of God to do it. Now, I could have went by on my own and called him up on my own. You know what effect that had? Nothing. But when God, you got to wait on God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to be reminded. Now, here's the last point, and I'll close right after this. I ain't even got done on Isaiah 54 where we started. We're still on this first sentence we started on last Sunday. But we'll get to the rest of that on perhaps next Sunday. But here it says about remembrance. The next thing it says, to make a memorial. To make a memorial. Now, in the Song of Solomon, there is two places where Solomon, in his writings, as it is a reflection of the bride, speaks about her being a terrible army with banners. And he speaks of it in the sixth chapter of the Songs of Solomon, verses 4 and 10. He speaks about, thou art beautiful, my love, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Now, when they were going to the battlefield, they would always run their banners out in front of them. And the thing would be, friends, look, just the sight would be enough to strike terror in the hearts of many. Why do you think there was a time that during the times of the battles and in England and France, Spain, Scotland, and Ireland, these places, that in Germany and that, they had banners that they would go out before their army with. And on that, and then each, there would be different families of royalty, and each of them would have their coat of arms, they call it. And incorporated within these coat of arms, and that would be actually on their banners as well, incorporated within that coat of arms would be different symbols that would symbolize something about that individual, whether it had to do with battles that they had won or a certain kind of characteristic maybe that was associated with that family. And these banners would go out, and those banners would have that coat of arms on it with all these emblems and pictures and different things that would denote. And friends, look, it would be a reputation that would already have preceded. So when this banner was saw, it would bring to remembrance these people, the things they had heard concerning that individuals that marched under those banners. So terrible as an army with banners. A banner. Now, but there is a banner that we have. And friends, it might not have symbols on it necessarily that we would associate with in a way maybe of our thinking. But yet there is a reputation that is behind our banner. Moses was instructed by God to give a banner to the children of Israel while they were in Goshen. And that banner was to be displayed so that the death angel could not overcome them. And that was the token of the blood on the doorpost. That was their banner. Their banner was coming under the token of the blood. Now, friends, that token of the blood was symbolic at that time of something that was yet to come. The children of Israel, friends, they didn't even completely understand the symbology of what God was doing. But when the death angel come, what made him see it? What made him take notice of it? Because it was the blood of the Lamb. It was a sign. The first sacrifice that was made on earth by revelation was that of Abel. And he slew a lamb and he took the blood and he applied the blood. So it might have been the first time that Egypt or any of them had ever seen such. But it wasn't the first time the angel of death had saw it. They might not have known the symbology, really, the whole significance of it, of being the blood of a lamb and being put on the doorpost. Therefore, could not enter. It couldn't get past. So what does that mean? You got to become part with that blood in order to pass over. Abel had a revelation. It was blood that took us out of the garden and away from the tree of life. It'll take blood to take us back to where we can partake of the tree of life. This is our banner. It's the token. We have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. We can apply that token. Friends, look. You got your young children perhaps living at home. They're not to the age of accountability yet. The enemy comes against them and strikes them with sickness or disease. You can actually command that devil, that sickness, to leave them alone. Why? Because they're under a banner. Hallelujah. They're under a banner. They're under a token. You are their Holy Ghost. That's what we say. Look, people say, well, you know, she was wanting to wear makeup, so, you know, what I'm going to do, I just let her. Who bought that stuff? Does she got a job? Somebody told me that, what, I had an 11, 12-year-old. And I said, she work? No. Now, who buys it for? Well, she wanted it. Well, if you got the Holy Ghost, you're supposed to be her Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Now, I know that gets really difficult if you're talking in, and forgive me, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but that gets difficult if you're talking in a family where it's a broken home and mom and dad ain't together and things like that. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, we get ourselves in those messes. That's the truth. Yeah. And it ain't no sense getting depressed and down and saying, oh, woe is me. How's that, brother? Boy, I get to think about that. I get to want him to come by. Wowsy, wowsy, woo, brother, Jewel says. No. Get back up. So, Lord, help me. Somehow through my mistakes, somehow, Lord, through the wrong choices that I have made, I'm asking you, Lord, I'm committing myself to you that all things is going to still work together for the good of them that love the Lord. You know, many times we're like, well, no, those wrong choices we made, they ain't going to work for our good. Well, it wasn't really a correct choice I made by going in the army, I can tell you. But did it work for my good? It helped make me who I am today. If I'd have come here to pastor before I went through the army, I would have never stayed. I'd have ran like everybody else after a while. But after going through that, I ain't ever going to run from the devil. You know, And I'll tell you something, friends. Look, you say God sent you somewhere, God told you something, I'm going to tell you what, he better have, because the devil's sure going to test it if you say that. Heard somebody said that God spoke to them, sent them, they was going to be the pastor of a certain church. And then they said, they was telling somebody here just this past week, they said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm the only one there that could do it, and I'm the only one there that deserves to have it. And I said, ooh, boy, right there, I can tell you right there, that is not the Lord. That's what I told him. I said, that ain't the Lord behind that. The Lord ain't got nothing to do with that. You the only one deserves it? And I, of course, I, being who I am, sometimes I get carnal. And I said, I mentioned about some church that I know that has had tons of preachers go through it. And I said, that'd be a church where you get somebody and say, boy, they deserve that church. But I said, hey, I'm not looking actually for attitude, but that's not the characteristic. That's not a characteristic of God. I'm the only one who deserves it. My goodness. No. I told that brother, I said, brother, you know good and well, it wasn't this brother I was talking to that said that. It was the other one that told him this. And I told him, I said, you know good and well, I said, they have preachers get up and say, well, God sent me to, told me I was going to go pastor at church. I said, how many said that God had spoken to them and told them they was going to be pastor of Dixon? And I said, how did that show out? How did that end up being revealed out? You find out God hadn't spoke to any of them. Hallelujah. My. No, we have the right characteristics, the right attitude, the right character, and the right behavior. Yeah. Behavior that's seemly to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You know. Friends, look, we've got a token. Yeah. And you know what? That token, we know his blood was shed for us. So we've got that on our banner. We know for our healing, it said he was striped for our healing. That is on the banner. Hallelujah. We know he was chastised. We know everything, as Isaiah goes through that and tells us what it would be, and then we see that come to pass. That's on our banner. John, Revelation 5, was weeping, remember? And it said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah that's on our banner hath prevailed of victory. Many times on their banners they would put a symbol, something that would speak of a great victory that they had. The Lion hath prevailed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And then John said he looked, and he saw a lamb as if it had been slain. That is on our banner. That is on our banner. You say, a slain lamb, well, that don't speak of power. Well, it did to the death angel. It did when Abel come down to worship. His offering was pleasing to God. It pleased God, the Bible said, to bruise him. For us, that is on our banner. Friends, we have the Lord's pleasure. We have his favor. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been good to be here today, Lord. Lord, I pray, may we take these things. Lord, this hasn't just been a pep talk today. It ain't been something, Lord, like they do before in a sales meeting to try to get people hyped up to go out and be able to say, Lord God, these are eternal words. This is word, dear God, of life that has power behind it, Lord Jesus. Lord, what we've been doing today is actually looking over these scriptures and reminding, Lord, us of what, God, we already know how you're able and believe, dear God. But Lord, there's times it needs to be brought to our remembrance, Lord, just how victorious we are, dear God. Lord, yes, there's times, Lord, it seems like we suffer defeat. But Lord, let's just retreat back to where we left you. The children of Israel, Lord, they have times when they had a defeat under Joshua. Joshua said, oh, hold on now. Let's retreat back. Let's find out what caused us to have a defeat. Why did we lose? Lord, then we know the story of Achan. Lord, hallelujah. It was the same under Moses' ministry, dear God. They couldn't get out and get displeasing to you. And then they would lose, dear God. And then they'd have to come back to where they had displeased you, where they'd got out of your will, where they had, Lord, ventured off without you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Sometimes, God, we don't do it with wrong intentions. Lord, like Mary and Joseph, dear God, they become so looking at trying to prepare for their journey and what they had to do and getting things together and being ready to go that they left, God, and were gone. I believe, Lord, 3 days' journey before they realized, hold on, we forgot Jesus. Oh my, and where did they find him, Lord? Oh, where will we find you? We'll find you, Lord, in your word right where we leave you. Oh Lord, Father, you give Adam and Eve the best protection you could in the beginning, and that was your word. All they had to do was obey your word. It wasn't a protection of words wrote in a book. It wasn't something like that, dear God, but it was just you spoke, and all they had to do was believe and obey and walk in it, Lord. That's the way it is, Lord, today. But Lord, we do have a Bible, Lord, that we can go back to and bring to our remembrance these things, Lord, that speak of us. And we thank you for it, Lord. We give you praise, dear God. Bless your people today, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, Brother Nathaniel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Victoria.